Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
And away we go with the fourth and final hour of the Rob Brown Show right here on the Fan Upstate. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages. I am Rob Brown. The great one, Lonzo, on the other side of the metaphorical glass this AM. Be a part of the show, won't you? The renewal by Anderson of the Carolinas. Fan phone, 844-326-3663. 844-FANFONE is the way to go to be a part of the radio broadcast. Hi, Heather. Been a minute. You can text the 71307. Start your text with FAN, F-A-N, 71307. Ah, get in the hole! 71307, FAN is the way to start that text.
Wait, I thought you wouldn't be that guy.
No. Watch this shot. Watch this shot, and you'll see what I'm talking about. My dude from about $190 out just had a ball bounce, hit the lip of the cup, and not fall.
I love that they're showing his expression, though. I mean...
Masters television is it's untouchable. Saturday and Sunday rounds specifically, when they don't take commercial breaks, like 8 hours of coverage, they take like two-minute breaks during the whole thing. It's incredible. And because they have all that time, instead of showing you that damn commercial with the singing auto-tuned pictures, don't let me go, don't let me go. Oh, God, if I see that commercial again, I'm going to scream.
I think I may have saw that one time, and I don't even know what that is.
Don't you ever let me go. Woo! Okay, that commercial played during the March Madness tournament, I'm estimating correctly, about 397 times. Yep, that sucks. Hit the tall grass and stop. It did not stop. Doink. All right. Let's get to some stuff. 71307 text
line. He was cursing in a foreign language.
I probably cursed in a lot of different language with that shot.
I think he might be Dutch, so I don't know.
Texter says, well, Steve in the stream asked just mere moments ago, how screwed are the Braves without Spencer Strider, which is a Vundabar question. It depends on what you mean. Depends on what you mean by screwed.
Is it panic time? Are we there yet?
No.
Okay. All right.
Not quite yet. Time okay. For the buzzer.
All right.
Not quite yet. Time.
Yeah, we need.
I will say
another month, and then's when panic sets in.
I will say they got their asses kicked by the New York Mets at home yesterday, and that was real bad.
Play 3,000 games. You're going to lose a couple.
They are not screwed, to answer your question, Steve. I will say this. My over-under 101.5 bet is feeling a lot less good with the Braves at 7-4 and the Phillies at 7-6 as it stands right now. Remember, the Braves lost the game in that series with the Mets because of the rain, which I don't know if it would have been any different. They probably would have picked up a win yesterday because they had to go with Allen Wynans off the bump, who gave up like a lot of hits. They are currently one game behind the Milwaukee Brewers, who are 8-3. They are three games behind the LA Dodgers, who are 10-5. So it depends on your definition of screwed. If you mean screwed as in trouble for the one overall seed, yeah, they're in trouble. They're in trouble for the one seed overall. I think we got a couple of things we got to pay attention to. Number one, I think we got to pay attention to what this means for Spencer Schrider.
I have to interrupt for a second because, and this is a legitimate question. How are you looking at seeding with how many games have been played?
Like 20? For the Braves, 11.
You're out of what, 182? What's the exact number? I think it's, yeah. So you're actually looking at seeding 11 games in.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's done. All right.
Yeah.
I think
162, by
okay,
the way.
Okay, my bad. I think it's a little early, isn't it?
No, not at all. Not at all, because I think the one seed is going to come down to a game. It may come down to a half a game. It may be a half a game difference at the end. This is something that our former colleague Mark Ryan and I used to butt heads on all the time because he felt the same way. 162 games, who cares if you lose a game on Tuesday at 12:30 in the afternoon? Me, because at the end of every year, the one seed frequently seeding. There is a playoff race for either a division crown or for a wild card or whatever that comes down to a game or a half a game. And when it comes down to a single game down the stretch, yeah, you go back and you go, hey, remember that time you lost to the Mets on April 11th, even though it is now September? If you win that game, you win the division. And every team's going to have, 60 of those games that if you win one of them, you might win the division versus go to the wild card. And in the Braves' case, it's not you might win the division. Well, I mean, it might be win the division. The Phillies are hanging with you so far. Well, it's a long season. But for me, the race for the Bravos is not against the Phillies in the East. I think the Phillies are going to hit their chill-out periods. I think the Braves are going to be consistently good, and they're going to win the East. The race is not against the Phillies for the East. The race is against the Dodgers for the one seed, the right to stay home during the wild card round, the right to get a couple of extra days of rest, and the right to host every series, including the NLCS.
Have you ever asked Cody Decker if players approach it that way?
I don't need to.
Yeah, I'm just curious if the players approach it that way, because I got to believe they can't. That early on, I mean, you're supposed to win the game that's in front of you. But do players go, oh, man, we lost that game. Now we're a half a game out after playing for a month?
I think there is a balance that has to be struck between winning the game that's in front of you while also thinking long term. I think there is a balance that has to be struck. When you are investing your money, you try to, I know, funny, we work in radio.
Theoretically.
If you were theoretically investing your money.
Yes, that was a legitimate laugh out of me.
You invest some of your money in long-term investments and some of your money in short-term investments, right? Like you have to think about both. You need to think about you can't lock all your money up in a long-term investment. Because if tomorrow I walk outside and my car breaks, I need to make sure I can afford a rig. On the flip side, I can't invest everything in short term because if all of that goes away and I got no long-term investments, I might be a poor old person and having to go play at the Masters because I can't afford anything else.
Yep, that's why he's there.
That's why he's there. So I think there is a balance to be struck, but I think part of the planning for the long term is if you're Atlanta, making LA come to you in the NLCS, getting the advantage in the ace versus ace game in game number one of the NLCS, getting the advantage in the ace versus ace game of game number five in the NLCS is mucho importante. So while, yes, I am not going to say, here, I'll give you a perfect real-life example. Aaron Judge and the New York Yankees. The Yankees and the Orioles right now are, depending on the book you look at, co-favorites to win the American League East. The Yankees and the Orioles right now are two of the favorites to win the American League overall, or I should say at least win the American League one seed, host and get the first round bye. Aaron Judge is a massively important player on that baseball team. Aaron Judge is a top five bet to win the American League MVP. Aaron Judge is also a guy that has had health issues his entire career. And why wouldn't he? He's like a 6'7", 265-pound monster of a man who plays in the outfield, by the way. Aaron Judge has a banged-up wheel. He's got a bad foot. And during this offseason, Aaron Judge learned that the damage to his foot is pretty much permanent at this point. And Aaron Judge basically got told and told us over the offseason, my foot's just always going to be hurt. It is less about game management now and is more about pain management now. It is not how do I handle this on a game-by-game basis, but it's how do I handle this for my whole freaking life at this point. And so one of the decisions that has to get made by Aaron Judge, by Aaron Boone, by the New York Yankees, one of the decisions that has to get made on a game-by-game basis is when do you give Aaron Judge a day off to stay in the ice bath?
I thought he killed a squirrel. Something fell out of his tree.
That was a bad drive.
I guess, are those magnolia trees? It was a magnolia.
Got magnolias, you got dogwoods.
It was really big leaves. The way it fell out of the tree, I thought a squirrel was dead.
Lonzo this morning learned about the gallery tunnel on 18, which is the tee box and then people on about 3 yards on both sides. It is a tunnel to drive through.
As someone watching from there, I don't think I could do that. I think I would be freaked out standing there.
Not a lot of margin for error there. So Aaron Judge, going to have to deal with the foot, which means that there are games where the Yankees are going to have to decide, do we rest this guy? Do we rest one of our better hitters? Do we rest our power guy, our captain, our leader? Do we let this guy sit and give him a day off of his feet at the risk of losing a game that we should not lose? In a situation where we think we're going to be dogfighting till the bitter end with the Baltimore Orioles. I think that's part of the reason 162-game schedule is so interesting to me. Because it is a manage-for-the-long-term situation. In the NFL, where you got 17 games, if a guy's kind of bruised up and banged up, you got to play that guy, even if he's a little hurt, you know? This is, football is where the old expression, you're hurt but you're not injured, comes from. In baseball, you got to consider that. Because while you might be hurt but not injured, if you are hurt and I go out there and I play you in back-to-back four-game series, if you're playing, you know, 14, 15 days in a row, the likelihood that hurt goes to injured skyrockets. And so if I'm Aaron Judge and the Yankees and my foot's starting to act up on me a little bit, and I say, let's say my foot hurts, but it ain't hurt yet, but it hurts. And I got a four-gamer against the Oakland A's, a two-gamer against the Milwaukee Brewers, and then a four-gamer against the Baltimore Orioles. How do I handle that? Do I take Judge out of the lineup for the A's and risk dropping a couple to Oakland? Do I leave him in the lineup, take him out for two against the Brewers, a better team but a shorter series, and hope my guys can play around not having him in the lineup? Do I run him all six and hope he's good when Baltimore's come to town? Try to get as many of those six that I can and then hope I can split against Bob. How do you handle that? And I think that is part of what makes a 162-game series very compelling. It's all those little things. And these are things that casual baseball fans don't, I don't want to say take into consideration. These are things that you're ignorant to. And I don't mean that in a negative way. The word ignorant is not a negative word. Some people portray it that way. It's not a negative word. It just means you don't know. And why would you? But these are the management decisions that guys like Boone and Snicker get paid a lot of money to handle. So when you look at it that way, yes, a 12:30 Thursday game against the fourth pitcher in the Mets rotation that you go out and lose 12-4 because your guys aren't hitting the ball, your ace is down, and you got to pull up a guy who's a career minor leaguer to get a big lead start is not good. And mark this conversation, because if we get to the end of the year and it's Braves Dodgers in a shootout for the one seed, and the Braves go down by one game, and then they make the NLCS, and they've got to go out to LA for games 1 and 2, and their ace, whether Strider is back or Freed, is still in the one hole, but their guy's got to go to try to get his best juice on the road in LA, I will be able to go, hey, Lonzo, do you recall back in April 12th, when we had a conversation about whether or not one out of 162 games actually matters? Feels like it matters now, right? Feels like it matters now. Because if they won that one game that we were talking about on April 11th of 2024, we'd be in Atlanta right now. Max Fried or Spencer Strider, if he can make it back, or whoever, would not be pitching on the road in a very hostile LA environment. They'd be in the friendly confines of Truist Park. And I would say that's absolutely a playoff advantage. So this is why I get frustrated when I talk about a game and I go, that game sucked. What a lack of performance. What a bad day. The bats were chilly. It sucked. You had to go to a minor leaguer and give him a start and he got absolutely rocked. That sucks. And you go, Rob, it's one out of 162 games. Correct. But I think the Braves and the Dodgers now with Spencer Strider down. One of the things I said coming into this year was if you are the Braves and the Dodgers have the injury list that the Dodgers have right now, which the Dodgers' injury list to pitching, even with Glasnow going, the Dodgers without Kershaw and some of these other guys that they've got banged up, Shohei Ohtani not pitching this year, Dustin May on the 60, Tony Gonsolin on the 60, Walker Buehler on the 15. With all these guys out, with all these guys down, Atlanta's got to build a cushion out of the gate. Atlanta needs to go up 5, 6, 7 games on the Dodgers out of the gate. Why? So that when Buehler and Gonsolin and Kershaw and May are all back for the Dodgers, you're sitting on a 6, 7 game lead, and you don't have to go game for game with LA. You can give a couple of back late in the season. You can kind of take your foot off the accelerator a little bit and go into cruise control while they're fighting for their lives, which also means they enter the playoffs a little more exhausted. You enter the playoffs a little more relaxed. And that to me is a good thing. Now without Spencer Strider, that cushion's a little harder to grab. Again, I still think you're in a pretty good spot. I still think you have got a pretty good rotation. Max Fried on Max Fried on many other teams is an ace. Charlie Morton is the only baseball player right now who seems to have found a way to defeat Father Time. Chris Sale. I came into this year saying, I don't need Chris Sale to be a monster. I just need him to be good enough. Well, guess what? Without Spencer Strider, now I kind of need him to be a monster. I came into this year thinking the Braves don't need to put all the pressure on Chris Sale. They just need to let Chris Sale go out there and be comfortable on the bump. Now there's pressure on Chris Sale. Reynaldo Lopez has been fine. Not great. Not Cy Young caliber. He's been fine. But what next? You got Ian Anderson down in the minors still. I have no idea if Ian Anderson is ever going to make his way back to Atlanta and be the guy that he was before the injuries and everything. I've got no idea if Ian can be that guy. A former postseason hero, but some guys have these injuries and they don't ever come back the same guy. I don't know if Ian Anderson's going to be that guy. Max Fried's an ace on most other staffs. Morton, Sale, Lopez. Winans is going to have to pick up some slack until Anderson's ready to get called up, if he is. Are the Braves screwed? Not at all. Not at all. Are they the bona fide guaranteed one seed now, like I thought they were a week and a half ago? Absolutely not. Now, all of a sudden, you're in a slugout with the Dodgers. The good news is the Braves have built a lineup, 1-9, that should be able to score enough runs to pick up whoever's on the bump. But they didn't yesterday. Yesterday, the bats were quiet. Yesterday, the bats were quiet against a good but not great pitching staff and effort from the New York Mets. If the Braves go that cold in the playoffs against the Philadelphia Phillies, the Bravos are capital S screwed. Is it panic time yet? No, not at all. Not at all. But if the bats go a week cold, if the Braves are only putting four runs up on the board for a week game by game, and Allen Winans stays in the rotation for any length of time, then yes, then it will be time to push the panic alarm. Let's take a break, come back. Got a few more things I want to run through before we take a break. 71307 is the text line. Start your text with FAN, F-A-N, FAN, F-A-M. We'll read them on the air. Tweet us at The Rob Brown Show, at Lonzo on Word. You can also get at us on the renewal by Anderson of the Carolinas fan phone at 844-F-A-N-F-O-N-E. That's 844-326-3663. The Rob Brown Show rolls on. It is the Fan Upstate.
Call from Mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Tell you how happy I am that the grilled cheese text recipe suggestions are still coming in. Texter said, Rob, when you make grilled cheese, sprinkle garlic powder into your butter before throwing it in the frying pan. So way to go. Tiger misses his par putt. He's going to have about a 8-incher to go bogey. So that's going to be 2 bogeys, no birdies for Eldrick in the final 5 of round 1. That's going to move him to +1. And he'll head to the clubhouse, take a little break before he comes back out at 3:45 to play 18 more. Yes, I love that idea. I mentioned this earlier. I'm a big believer in butter, garlic into the food processor, mix that all together, then melt it up in the pan, wow, then brush it on the cheese.
That sounds like a lot of work. I think one of the best things about grilled cheese is, man, I don't know. I don't feel like doing that. You know what? I'll just make a grilled cheese. It's one of those things that doesn't take that much effort.
It doesn't have to.
And it makes it taste better because it doesn't take that much effort.
The versatility of being able to make a quick, easy, simple, dirty grilled cheese or actually make like a real good, nice grilled cheese.
Okay.
It's a versatile food.
You're no gourmet.
I am a chef. A very good chef. There is absolutely an entirely.
All right, this has been killing me all morning. What color are those pants? Is that aqua?
Carolina blue.
Is it?
Yeah,
no,
baby blue.
I don't think so.
Yeah, those are baby blue.
It's a little bit lighter than
they're
that.
They're in the direct sun. Baby blue. Melt up your butter. And for the record, Texter, I'm going to go with you one better. Garlic powder's fine. If you really want it right, you get you some fresh Irish butter. You drop that in the food presser. You take a couple of cloves. You got the big garlic.
So you're not going to be specific with the Irish butter and go Kerrygold?
Kerrygold's the way to go.
Yeah, okay, all right.
But just Irish butter, but Kerrygold's the way to go. You go Kerrygold, you drop that into a processor. Then you take some fresh cut, chopped, and minced up garlic. Fresh. Like, pull it out of the garlic bell yourself. Drop it down in there as well. You blend those together real good. Then you put that whole mixture into the pan. All right. You let that get nice and melty. Get you just the thinnest little layer of it across the bottom. You take your two pieces of bread. You drop them in there. You rub them around a little bit. All right, you rub them around so that butter gets into the bread. You let it cook in there. You flip that bread over. You rub it around in there a little bit. You let that cook for a minute. Then you go cheese on one side of the bread. If you want to get a little swanky fancy with it, cut you up some fresh jalapenos. All right, put those over the top of it. Close that up. Now, what I learned
and
today.
Then you can charge $50 for it. You're overcomplicating a grilled cheese. It should be done in 5 minutes or less.
Oh, I'm sorry. You're not the arbiter of food, Lonzo. Isn't that what you said to me earlier?
Okay, there's a new voice for me. And he also looked a lot like John Candy out in front of Wally World. It's weird.
I'm just saying, for somebody who gets mad at arbiters, arbiting?
I never.
Is arbiting correct?
Raised my voice once. You did. And grilled cheese is convenient. It's quick. I don't see why you have to overcomplicate it.
Because things taste better when you put more energy, effort into
them.
Does it? Yes. Yes.
Nope.
I just told you how to make it taste better.
Wow.
Little garlic butter.
Wow. Thank you, arbiter.
You're arbiting.
No.
I
just told you how to do it. You listen to me.
Right, and then you just what? Told me I shouldn't
peasant.
Do it. You just told me I shouldn't
peasant,
do that.
Peasant, go eat your 5 minute sandwich. I'll take 25 minutes and it'll make it taste better.
And have a better sandwich. You're
yeah,
exactly correct.
Yeah, meanwhile, I'm no longer hungry while you're still cooking. So, I mean, you go right ahead.
Right, but when I eat, mine's better. His hands just.
Sure.
Facts.
Sure. I'm fatter than you. That means I know more than you.
If that was true, you and I would be sitting on the other side of this building.
No. When it comes to food, that makes me more knowledgeable.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with a hard no on that.
Okay, all right.
You think ketchup on steak is okay? Immediate disqualification.
I don't judge you for what you do with your food as long as it's not in the bed. So that was what I said earlier. I'm gonna stick with that. Put whatever you want on your food. I mean, go ahead.
I am just going, and by the way, after you do the garlic Irish butter mash and then put it in there, apparently just a little spread of mayo on the side of the bread that's going to be the closed face portion of it, apparently mayo's the way to go. Learn that today. Learn something new today. By the way, I did get the text back from Stathakis.
I was going to say, and I further know that you're a food snob. So, I mean,
how do you know I'm a food snob?
Because you're a snob on everything. The food is just another level.
I'm a snob on important things.
Okay. All right.
Get your food right.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Why do you want to?
If I think, and you're not going to influence me at all, if I'm at home and I don't feel like making anything, I'll just make a grilled cheese.
I'm not
going to feel like, oh, yeah, but Rob said I should do this and this and this and this and this and this and this. That's too many thises. This is, I mean, you got bread, you got cheese, you want to get butter, that's fine.
Again, you're ignoring the main what I'm saying here. Yes, if you want a quick grilled cheese, make a quick grilled cheese.
As he called it, a dirty grilled cheese.
A dirty grilled cheese.
Why is it dirty?
Because it's quick.
Did I not clean the pan before I put
it? No, it's a metaphor. I know you hate metaphors, analogies, similes, and hypotheticals.
No, I mean, dirty means cheap in your vernacular, it would appear to be.
No, it doesn't. Dirty just means you're just doing it. It's just the basic. It's just a basic grilled cheese. I'll use basic instead.
That's better. See, that's better.
I'll use basic.
I'm okay with basic.
There are days where your boy's hungry and lazy, and he's going to make a basic-ass grilled cheese, and that is a perfectly fine, valid lunch. However, there are times where you want something a little nicer. You want something a little more upscale. Something a little more weight to it, all right? And that's when you go with the garlic melted butter grilled cheese.
All right, what does Stathakis say?
I said, Mike, we're having a grilled cheese convo on the show. I have a question. Can you cook a grilled cheese with mayo, like toast the bread with it? He said, and I quote, absolutely. In my experience, very few people order it that way, but you can do it. It's like a patty melt, which mayo is an ingredient. It's debatable. We put it on and then grill it. So he's saying that he goes ahead with the mayo. And by the way, big patty melt guy. Big patty melt guy.
Which is a grilled cheese with meat.
Right. So I am going to point out that Stax has now pointed out to me, in what I did not consider earlier, that yes, a patty melt is a grilled cheese with meat, and mayo is absolutely a part of the patty melt. So the mayo on grilled cheese, I guess, really shouldn't shock me all that much. And considering, because I am a good South Carolinian, there is Duke's mayo in the fridge right now.
Cold.
Daddy might get home and make himself a little mayo grilled cheese later on this morning.
The fact that he calls himself daddy is even more cultish.
That's not cultish, that's confident.
Are you drinking Kool-Aid with that?
I don't know. I got to tell you, I'm big on the sugar-free Dr. Pepper right now.
Yeah, which I already drink, so I mean.
The lady brought some home the other day. She's like, I got told this is, if you're going to go sugar-free soda, the best one, and I think she's right. I think you're right.
It doesn't taste like Dr. Pepper.
It doesn't.
It has its own taste. And by the way, the diet Dr. Pepper doesn't taste like that. So, I mean, it's like three different drinks.
Yeah. The diet Dr. Pepper tastes like a different kind of Dr. Pepper. The sugar-free Dr. Pepper tastes like Dr. Pepper, but not nearly as bold as Dr. Pepper. I always love Dr. Pepper because it's so bold.
That's a good point. Yeah. It does take the bold out of it, but it still has really good flavor.
It tastes like Dr. Pepper, just without the boldness.
So what you're saying is now I need to start counting my cans? Because the fridge is full of that kind of Dr. Pepper.
No, I'm not going to take your diet Dr. Pepper.
Well, you can.
Mainly
because
she drinks my diet Dr. Pepper.
No.
It's mine.
I got a mix of zero and yeah.
I'm going with, I very well might do the mayo grilled cheese experiment today. I got to stay awake. I can't take the nap today.
Are you going to live stream it? Why do you got to stay awake? You got something going on? It is Friday.
Actually, no, I do have to take a nap. We got Swamp Rabbit Hockey tonight at the Well.
Yeah, because you want to be on your best alertness when you're walking out on ice.
Got to be on the A game, baby.
Have you bought it any? Have you hit the ice any in your?
One time.
Okay.
One time. And it was my very first game with the Pensacola Ice Flyers. I did the same thing for them for one season when I lived down there. And the very first time I went on the ice. So what I got told was when you take your first step on the ice, the first step needs to be deliberate, right? You put the foot.
Was this like when we went curling and you put your foot on that thing and it was.
Kind of. So.
Was that Teflon? What was that made out of?
Couldn't tell you.
Yeah, but that
don't remember.
That was dangerous.
So you get told your first step on the ice has got to be very deliberate. You go flat foot, right? Don't put it down and slide into that flat foot. You put all your weight directly on the center of your foot. And then once you get that foot down, then you can just walk. So that's what I want to do.
It's like basically, you're from Florida. So this is like walking on normal ice. Like if I was going to school.
I mean, sure, I guess. I don't know.
Because you didn't, you haven't lived in a wintry climate like I have.
Correct.
And there was ice all over the place.
I just assume ice on the ground is ice on the ground.
Well, I thought maybe you
No, that's not true. All right, let me
I thought you would walk on it differently, but that's how you walk on ice that's on the ground also.
Let me walk through this. So, first step is deliberate, but I will also say that there is a difference between walking on ice that's had a period of hockey played on it versus ice that's just been Zamboni. Fresh, smooth, perfect ice is a lot worse than ice that's been skated on where it's choppy and there's ice chips all over it. So the first step, deliver it. And then after that, you just walk. So the first time that I did this for the Ice Flyers was the opening home game of the 2016 or 17 season. And the dude that had done it before was there. And he's like, look, first step, no worries. Just like be deliberate, put your foot down. I'd never been on a hockey rink on shoes before. I'd skated before, but never on shoes. First step, deliberate, put all your weight down. Then once you're out there, you'll get it. You just walk. I said, okay. So I go out there, put the foot down, feeling real good about it. Go to take the second step. As soon as I shift the weight for the second step, the first foot goes to the right. The second foot goes to the left. Rob Brown comes as close to doing the first set of splits he's ever done in his life. He eats it head over ass backwards onto the ice. And it turns out that over rock and roll music, you can hear 6,500 people laugh at you. Learned that lesson the hard way. It was rough. Went, finished my little segment, came off the ice. The guy goes, what happened? I said, I don't know, man. I took the deliberate step. I thought I was good. He looks down, and I was wearing a set of, like, real casual sneakers, you know, like casual kicks, like you would just wear around the house or whatever. And he goes,
you mean Skechers? You were wearing Skechers?
No, they were Nikes, but they weren't, like, they weren't like Jordans. They weren't like basketball shoes. They were like trainers, right? And he looks down, and he goes, oh, yeah, no, don't wear those. Oh, thanks. Thanks, Tommy. Thank you very much. Good to know now.
So what are you supposed to wear? I mean, what kind of shoes are you supposed to wear? Dress shoes?
Shoes with a rubber sole and grip. Like, not like flat sole shoes. It's got to have some tread, got to have some lines, some marks, some divots.
Like running shoes.
Yeah, basically.
Okay.
So, like, my go-to now are Adidas Sambas. If you see me out on the ice, I'm wearing Sambas. Because the Sambas are made for playing indoor soccer. Like basketball court soccer. So they're made to grip a flat, smooth surface. And that's what I rock now. But yes, I ate it hard. I bought the farm in front of about 6,500 people at the Pensacola Bay Center. It was slightly... I'm trying to decide if that or not being able to squeeze my gigantic behind into the NASCAR stock car was more humiliating. I'm actually, I think, going to go with the stock car. I'm going to say that was more humiliating primarily because the NASCAR drivers were right there.
I think you should. The NASCAR thing. Even though it's in front of less people, it's more intimate because you're right there and you probably had to finish the tour with those people. Whereas with out on the ice, you just walked off the ice and didn't see him anymore. Right?
I think it would have been way worse at the hockey game had the two teams been on the ice. You know what I mean? Had like the players been out there, had the coach been out there, had those guys been out there, I think it would have been a dramatically more humiliating experience.
Yeah, I probably wouldn't have got up. I would have had to have people come out on purpose and just fell like three or four more times to make it look like I fell on purpose.
It is.
Did you think about that?
No, it is incredibly motivating to have 6,000 people laughing at you. The adrenaline spike you get right there, not only was I getting back up, I was jumping on the ice to show that I couldn't, because again, flat bottom sole shoes, lesson learned. Nobody wanted to tell me that before I did it. But I'm going to go eating bleep on the ice dramatically worse than not being able to score, or excuse me, not worse than being unable to squeeze into a stock car. Let's get a phone call in here before we take a break. Who we got?
Jersey Joe.
Jersey Joe, what's up, big dog? Welcome to the show, big fella.
What's going on, guys? How you been, man?
Real good, partner. How are you?
Hey, talking about being on the ice when back in the old Greenville Growl days, me and my two ex-brother-in-laws used to do the bad dog thing. We used to put the tiniest sheet metal screws we can find in our sneakers, and that would give us traction walking on the ice.
Yeah, they make these they like slip over your shoes. They're like rubber that wrap around your shoe, and then on the bottom they have like golf spikes, like real small golf spikes, and they make those. Nobody gave me one of those, Joe, before I went out and bought the farm in front of a stadium full of people. I wish I would have known that at the time.
Oh, yeah, like I said, the sheet metal screws worked real good, and the best thing about being on ice, though, was when we got ready to leave the ice, we would run and slide on our bellies across the ice. That was the best part.
Have not done that. Will not do that. Don't have any interest. Good on you for being an animal, you animal. Joe, good to talk to you, buddy. Appreciate you checking in, my man. Good to hear from you. Joe, I've seen pictures of Joe and his ex-brother-in-laws in the old Greenville Grout days. Lonzo, they were the shirts off, letters painted on the chest dudes at the Grout games.
Awesome.
Texas said, if you fall, knock out a few push-ups and you look epic. No, you don't. Not when you land ass first and then shoulders after. There's no recovering from that. Would it crank out a couple of crunches?
Yeah.
I meant to do this, y'all.
Yeah, do that.
Yeah, there's no coming back from that. No coming back from that at all. Let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll ask what the X is going on. I'll give you a final Masters scoreboard rundown as the first round golfers are coming in. The second round guys going out in just a few minutes. It's the Rob Brown Show. It's the Fan Upstate.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At-Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At-Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Time to squeeze in quickly what the X so he can update you on the leaderboard. All right, the first thing that's Xing is Harrison Ford.
Got nothing. No idea why Indiana Jones / Han Solo is trending.
Well, he is now Thunderbolt Ross, and he is trending because there's a clip, I think, that I haven't seen yet with him and Anthony Mackie. And he is telling...
Ooh, that's a good combo.
And he's telling him to assemble the Avengers.
I like it.
Yeah,
I like it. So, now, are we going to get Red Hulk Harrison Ford? Because please, that would be amazing.
Don't know. I don't know who the bad guy is in it. They've changed the name of Captain America 4 several times. It was like New World Order. It's changed to something else now. So I don't know. I don't know if they're going through a series of writers. I know they're filming Thunderbolts right now, too. Can't wait to see what happens with that. The next thing that's Xing is Danhausen.
Also don't know why Danhausen is trending. I've seen him pop up a couple of places, wrestled a couple of indie shows around WrestleMania weekend.
All right, two things. One is people are wondering why he's not being used because he is healthy and he's wrestling other places.
Yep, he's wrestling indie shows.
But it looks like mostly because of his support for CM Punk. And if you follow Danhausen, he and CM Punk are like always at shows together and stuff like that, so...
I am intrigued by that whole thing. I did not finish Dynamite before we did Fight Club yesterday. I went back and watched it, and I saw a part of the FTR promo in the ring after the Young Bucks showed the video.
Yeah.
And I will say that to show that video and work it into a storyline, to me, kind of takes away from the weight of it a little bit. Like, it makes it feel like it's just part of the story when I don't know that it is. That was the point where I was like, all right, it's probably best if you guys move on from this and like never bring it up again.
Well, we'll see what the backlash does and what they do next week or what they do Saturday on Collision or even tonight on Rampage. And finally, the last thing that's X-ing is Hot Ones.
I have not watched the most recent episode.
All right, here's the reason why it's trending. Conan O'Brien supposedly put in the best performance ever on Hot Ones. It's, the most entertaining, anyway.
If you haven't watched it, it is a phenomenal show. It's a great show. And it's a great show because they, as an interviewer, and as somebody who does this for a living, and for those of you that have listened, you may have picked this up by now. One of the things that I think a good interviewer tries to do is tries to break down the person you're interviewing and get them to talk to you like a human being.
Unless it's R-Truth and you don't have
to. Unless it's R-Truth and he just comes in guns blazing. But like most guys, when you start the interview, you know, especially with like athletes, with actors and actresses, musicians, there is, and you know what I'm talking about, there's like cliche ways that you answer interview questions. You know, I'm very fortunate and lucky to be here and making this, and this music means so much to me. And like those things might be true, but like, yes, everybody says that. Nobody's ever been like, this music doesn't mean anything to me. I just want to sell records, right? Like that might be true for a lot of them, but they're not going to say it. My goal is always.
I sold out a long time ago, Rob. It's all about, you know, how much money I can make.
And, yeah, outside of Lonzo.
Yeah.
Artists don't talk like that.
I was giving you an example. I mean, would that be refreshing or would you be like, oh,
no, okay. I mean, I would appreciate it, but I also understand it would kill anything they have going. But so, as an interviewer, my goal is always to disarm out of the gate and get you talking to me like I'm one of the boys, not a guy who's interviewing you, so that you get realistic answers. That's what Hot Wings does. It breaks these people down via hot sauce so that they start answering questions like normal people.
It was a great idea. I mean, the fact it's that they're going to be so focused on how hot their mouth is that they might answer things in a way that they wouldn't normally.
Phenomenal idea. All right, quick rundown the Masters leaderboard as we are almost out of time. Bryson DeChambeau, as we mentioned earlier, clubhouse leader, all alone on top of the board at 7-under with a first round 65, one stroke ahead of the betting odds on favorite Scottie Scheffler, who turned in an opening round 6-under 66. Nikolai Højgaard, Max Homa, Cam Davis, all T3 right now at 5-under. Danny Willett is in 6th at 4-under, 3-under. Ryan Fox is in 7th by himself. We got a multi-way tie for 8th. Joakim Niemann, Cam Young, Matthew Pavon, Byung-Hun Ahn, Neil Shipley, and my dog, Willie Z, Will Zalatoris, all at 2-under. Patrick Cantlay, Victor Hovland, Rory McIlroy, Erik Vanrooyen, Matt Fitzpatrick, Kurt Kitayama, Tommy Fleetwood, and Tony Finau. Thor Bjorn Olesen, Cam Smith, Lucas Glover, Taylor Moore, all at 1-under. Justin Thomas, Eric Cole, Xander Schauffele, Akshay Bhatia, Tyrell Hatton, Tom Kim, Sergio, Harris English, Colin Morikawa, all at even at plus one. Vijay, Phil Mickelson, Sepp Straka, Wyndham Clark, Brooks Koepka, Ludwig Åberg, Mike Weir, Jon Rahm, Tiger Woods, bogeys 18 to move him at 1-over. He will tee it back up this afternoon. Stuart Hogstead, Adam Schenck, Danny McCarthy, Russell Henley, all at 1-under. Notables, Shane Lowry is at plus 2. Patrick Reed is as well. Going down the leaderboard, Justin Rose is 2-over. Saheed Theegala, 2-over. Bubba Watson, 2-over. Everybody else, 3-over or worse, including Jason Day. That's it for us. Have a great weekend, everybody. Do not drink and drive. I'll punch you in the face and put mayo on your grilled cheese and let us know how it is Monday. See you back here on Monday on The Rob Brown Show and The Fan Upstate later. Yeah!
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
For a
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly.